What do you think about when you're thinking about nothing? Sounds like a somewhat silly question, but I once heard Sinclair Ferguson say that he asks that very question of all men who are training for the ministry, all candidates for the gospel ministry. He asks them, what do you think about when you're thinking about nothing? And the point of the question, I think, is this. Where do your thoughts tend to go? When you've got a bit of time on your hands, when you're out for a walk, when you're waiting at the bus stop, when you're driving your car, what do you find yourself thinking about? Do you ever find yourself thinking about Jesus? Here in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, the writer tells his readers to consider Jesus, to consider Christ Jesus. Throughout his letter, or perhaps better, his sermon, it's a sermon, I believe, in letter form, the writer or the preacher to the Hebrews is really exhorting the congregation to press on in their faith. That's the message, the application that he is constantly driving home. You need to press on, you need to persevere. Don't fall away, don't go back to old covenant religion. That's the main message that he seeks to drive home. Persevere, endure, press on in your faith. And the main way that the preacher exhorts this congregation to press on is really by setting before their eyes the excellence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's been doing thus far in the first two chapters of this letter. He has been setting before the people to whom he is writing the excellence, the glory of the Lord Jesus. And it's in that context that the preacher goes on to say to these believers, now, in the light of what I've just told you about Jesus, how he is the glory of God, how he is the creator, the sustainer, and the end of all things. In the light of all that I have just told you about the Lord Jesus, and in the light of all that I am going on to tell you about Jesus, I want you to do this. Consider Jesus. And the idea behind this command, this exhortation, is I want you to consider him carefully. I want you to think about him. I want you to meditate upon him. I want you to give him serious thought and serious attention. Let your attention be wrapped with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what the author is saying here in this verse. It's actually quite similar to what the Apostle Paul says to the church in Colossae. There in Colossians chapter 3, he exhorts the church to set your minds on things above, not on things on the earth. Set your minds, in other words, on Christ, the one who is seated on high, the one who is above. What Paul says there is very similar, I think, to what the writer to the Hebrews says here at the beginning of chapter 3. Now, of course, neither Paul nor the book of Hebrews are saying that we should think, literally think about nothing else other than Jesus, that we are to give no thought whatsoever to our family, to our work, to our interests, or anything else, because we are to spend literally all of our time thinking about nothing other than Jesus. Of course, that's not what the Bible teaches. But what Paul and Hebrews are saying is this. Make sure that you are taking time to consider Jesus. Make sure, even when your thoughts are legitimately taken up with something else, make sure that Jesus is still on your mind. Make sure that you are living in the consciousness of his abiding presence and reality. Live, in other words, in such a way that when you are thinking about nothing, you actually find yourself thinking about Christ Jesus. Consider Jesus. Do you ever consider Jesus? Do you ever set aside any time during the day just to think about Jesus? It's far easier said than done. I know. I struggle to consider Jesus, and I imagine that many of you here do as well. But here at the beginning of chapter 3, we're actually given a couple of helps, as it were, as we seek to consider Jesus. And I want to look at these two helps with you this morning. Here in verse 1 of chapter 3, we're told why we should consider Jesus. And we're also told what, in particular, we should think about when we are considering Jesus. The why and the what of considering Jesus. First of all, then, why you should consider Jesus. And the answer is really very simple. You should consider Jesus. Why? Because you are a Christian. Just notice how the preacher describes his hearers in verse 1. He tells them that they are holy brethren who are partakers of the heavenly calling. Now, normally the Bible describes Christians as believers or as disciples, but here we have a different, somewhat unusual designation. But actually, in describing the Hebrew Christians in this way, our preacher is actually drawing on things that he has already said in his sermon a little bit earlier on. And he is seeking to drive home the truth that their fundamental identity is centered upon the person of Jesus Christ. That's what he's doing here. Back in chapter 2, verse 11, you might wish to glance there. The preacher had talked about Jesus as the one who sanctifies, and the Hebrews as those who are sanctified, set apart as holy. And he had then said in that very same verse that Jesus is not ashamed to call them brethren. And that is why now he calls them holy brethren. They are Jesus's holy brothers. And then just prior to verse 11 of chapter 2, back in verse 10 of that same chapter, he had spoken of God as the one who is bringing many sons to glory. In other words, God is the one who is leading his people to their heavenly home. We are all on a journey. We're all pilgrims in this world. We're all heading somewhere. Our life does have a purpose. And God is the one who is bringing us to that place where Jesus has now been crowned with glory and with honour. And this idea of the Hebrews being brought home to glory lies behind their designation as those who are partakers of the heavenly calling. This is where you are heading. That is where your citizenship really lies, in heaven. So this is who the Hebrews are. This is the core of their identity. Who are they? They are holy brothers who are partakers of the heavenly calling. And what we need to understand this morning is that they are these things purely because of their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Purely because God in his grace has brought them into a living relationship with the Lord Jesus. Jesus, you see, is the holy brother, and Jesus is the heaven-called person. And therefore, because you belong to him, because you are in him and he is in you, you too are holy brothers. You too have been called to heaven. Your identity, the very core of your being, is, in other words, Christ. And if this is who you are, then surely you should consider Christ. Indeed, if this is who you are, then surely you now can consider Christ. That's the logic of what the writer to the Hebrews says here. Since this is who you are, consider Jesus. It's the exact same logic that Paul uses in Colossians chapter 3. Since you have been raised up with Christ, since Christ is your very life, set your mind upon Christ. So let me ask you this morning, do you know who you are? So much is said today, isn't there, about identity. And there is just so much confusion in the world. Am I a man or am I a woman? Am I this or am I that? So much confusion. But there is absolutely no need for you, brothers and sisters, to be confused about who you are. You are a holy brother. And you share in a heavenly calling. You are heavenly people, united to the Lord Jesus, the man of heaven. Your identity is rooted in the person of Jesus Christ. Therefore, consider Christ Jesus. Isn't it the case that you spend so much of your time thinking about the thing that defines you, the thing that is most important to you, the thing that you live for? If what defines you, if what gives you identity is success or career or money or something else, then you will spend your time thinking about those things, thinking about how you can be successful, thinking about how you can make more money, etc., etc. Brothers and sisters, this is who you are. This is what defines you. Holy brothers who are partakers of the heavenly calling. Therefore, consider Christ your holy brother. Consider Christ your heavenly high priest. Consider Christ your life. Be the person that you are by considering Jesus. But then secondly, the preacher goes on to explain what the Christians, what we should consider when we are considering Jesus. We read, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Therefore, for this reason, consider Jesus. In other words, in the light of everything that I have told you thus far in my letter to you, in the light of everything that has been said from the very beginning of chapter 1 through to the end of chapter 2, consider Jesus. Consider the one who is, as he puts it right at the start of his sermon, the brightness of the glory of God. Consider the one who is the express image of his person. Consider the one who is the creator, the sustainer, and the heir of all things. The one who has purged all of our sins and who now sits at God's right hand. Consider the one who shares in flesh and in blood with us. Who is God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. Consider the one who has made full propitiation for all of your sins, who is your merciful and your faithful high priest. In all of these various ways, you are to consider Jesus. And this is all summed up in the way that Jesus is described here in verse 1 as the apostle and the high priest of our confession. Here is a summary statement of who Jesus is, summarizing all that has been said of him thus far in the letter to the Hebrews. Jesus is the apostle and he is the high priest of our confession. And what in particular is in view here, of this designation of Jesus as the apostle and the high priest of our confession is Jesus in terms of his word and of his work. To describe Jesus as our apostle and our high priest is to say that Jesus is the very revelation of God and the very redemption of God, the one whom God sent to be the redeemer of his people. Jesus is, in the first place, our apostle. I think this is the only time in the Bible that Jesus is explicitly referred to as an apostle. But of course, the concept is everywhere, particularly in the Gospel of John. There you just have to read John's Gospel to appreciate how Jesus saw himself very much as the one who had been sent. That's what apostle means, the one who has been sent. And Jesus was very, very conscious of his being the sent one. The one who was sent into the world from heaven, sent by his Father. Sent to reveal God. And of course, an apostle is someone who is not simply sent, but sent with something to say. Sent with a message. We naturally think of the apostles of the Lord Jesus, those whom Jesus sent out into the world to declare the message of the gospel. But Jesus, as we see here, is actually the apostle of apostles. He is the primary apostle, the apostle whom the Father sent into this world to proclaim the message of what? To proclaim the message of himself. That's what Jesus preached and proclaimed. He preached and proclaimed himself. Just read the Gospels and you see him talking about himself a lot of the time. I am the Son of God. I am the Son of Man. I am the Good Shepherd. I am the Lord and the King of all. I am the Saviour of sinners. There is about Jesus this wonderfully humble egocentricity. It's all about me. And he was right to say it's all about me because Jesus is in himself the very revelation of God. You see Jesus and you see God. You hear Jesus and you hear God. Jesus is the apostle of our confession. And he's also our high priest. Not only is Jesus the word of God, Jesus is also the one who does the work of God. He is the revelation of God and he is the one who accomplishes the redemption of God. And he accomplishes that great plan of redemption as, in particular, our high priest. As the high priest who offered himself, not another lamb or goat or bull, but who offered himself as the sacrifice for our sins. As the sacrifice that takes away all of our sins, that removes them far from us as far as the east is from the west, as the sacrifice who fully propitiates divine wrath, who fully satisfies God's justice, who thereby reconciles us to God. Jesus is the high priest who sacrificed himself in our place and for our sake, and he is the high priest who ever lives to make intercession for us now that he is at the right hand of the Father, exalted on high. And he is ever living to make intercession for us so that we are kept in our state of salvation. If you are a Christian here this morning, you can know with absolute certainty that you will never, ever lose your salvation. Why? Because Jesus is your ever living high priest. who is ever making intercession for you at the Father's right hand. If Jesus is interceding for you, praying that you will be kept unto the end, how can you ever lose your salvation? You can't. And Jesus is the high priest who saves all who come to him, all who come to God through him. He saves all who cast themselves upon him. If you're not a Christian here this morning, here is God's promise to you. Go to Jesus and he will save you to the uttermost. He will save you forever. We are a confessing people as Christians. And it's our privilege and our delight to confess Jesus Christ, the one who is the revelation of God, who is God in the flesh. It's our privilege and our delight to confess that Jesus is the Redeemer of all of God's people. There is salvation in no one else other than Jesus, our High Priest. It's our delight to confess that Jesus is the very truth and the very grace of God, our apostle and our high priest. This is what we confess. This is who we confess. Christ Jesus. And considering him is not, and I'm sure you know this, but let me just make this very clear. Considering Jesus is not in any way about entering into some kind of trance like state where you just empty your mind and wait for something to happen to you. No, considering Jesus is about focusing your mind upon his word and upon his work. It's about filling your mind with the truth of his revelation and his redemption. Sometimes you hear people describe themselves as news junkies. They're just obsessed with the news. They can't get enough of it. Christians, we should be Bible junkies. Obsessed with the Bible. Because it's there that we discover Jesus, our apostle and our high priest. So, what do you think about when you're thinking about nothing? Do your thoughts tend to go to Christ? Do you ever spend any time considering Jesus? I would go so far as to say that there is no more important activity for a Christian to be occupied with than this activity of considering Christ Jesus. This is the best thing that you could do. And I'm not saying, of course, that we should retreat from the world and become monks. Biblical Christianity is inherently practical. It is a religion of good works. It's a religion of doing good. But you see, the power and the joy of doing good comes from a living faith. It comes from a living relationship with the Lord Jesus. And if you are not considering Jesus, if you are not living in close communion with the Lord Jesus and through him with the Father and the Holy Spirit, then your Christian activity, however much you do, will lose all of its lovely, sweet-smelling savour. Your Christian activity, however much you do, will become burdensome and empty and moralistic and thoroughly displeasing to God. So let me appeal to you as I close. In the year ahead, don't waste your time. Don't waste your time thinking too much about the football or the rugby. Don't waste your time thinking too much about politics. What can politicians do? Not very much, really. Don't waste your time thinking too much about TV programs. What a load of rubbish is on TV. And certainly, do not waste your time thinking too much about yourself. That is the surest way to be the most miserable Christian in the whole world, to spend all your time thinking about yourself. Forget about yourself. Stop thinking about yourself. Make the best use of your time by thinking about Jesus. Because you see, there's no one better to think about. And let me say one final thing. Consider this. Consider that Jesus, your most merciful and faithful high priest, Jesus, who is the apostle and the high priest of our confession, consider the fact that he considers you every day. Your Lord Jesus considers you. He thinks upon you. He sets his mind upon you. He gives you his attention. He listens to you. He loves you. He has your name written on his hands. He has your name hidden in his heart. You were on the mind of the Lord Jesus when he first came into this world and was born as a tiny baby. You were on his mind throughout his entire life. You were on the mind of the Lord Jesus when he was hanging on the cross. And you are on his mind now that he is in heaven. Jesus ever considers you. So may we take the time to consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. Amen.